Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Friday, the 24th of July, 2020. My name's Nick Hurley here in Melbourne, starting with the East Coast's energy conundrum. As we all know, the eastern cities of Australia have a very expensive gas cost. That's due to declining reserves in the Bass Strait and a moratorium on fracking in at least Victoria, and I think in New South Wales as well in many parts. Now, the Santos has proposed a solution to this, that is that they will install a plant in Narrabri, a $3.6 billion project that will reduce gas costs for New South Wales in particular. They say that could, you know, potentially supply half the state's gas needs. Now, the Australian newspapers run an article yesterday saying that a Canberra consultancy, Pegasus Economics, has told a public hearing into Narrabri that the calculations that Santos are using just don't stack up. So there's also proposals for gas import terminals for ocean-borne gas to come from the Northwest Shelf in Western Australia to deliver the cheap, highly efficiently extracted gas from the Northwest Shelf into the eastern gas network. They state that those projects, of which Andrew Forrest is, I believe, behind one of them, can deliver gas at about US $4.20 a gigajoule, where the estimate of the gas coming from the Narrabri project is $8.70. So, you know, almost more than double the ocean-borne cost. So it will be interesting to see whether that project ever gets off the ground. Moving on to Coca-Cola Amatil, the well-known bottler based in North Sydney. Now, they've come out with some sort of firm figures on the impact of coronavirus. Obviously, Coca-Cola is one of those businesses that are quite impacted, maybe not as severely as some sectors, but obviously they make a lot of their high margin sales on, you know, Coke sales at the MCG and sporting stadiums, or outdoor concerts and those types of things, all of which we haven't seen. They're expecting an impairment of $190 million in the first half, with a lot of that cost coming from the Indonesian operation, but also their Australian. They have seen an uptick in the less profitable sales channels, such as supermarkets. Not surprising there. They do see a pickup in volume in June. Now, they see that June was only down 9%, which is probably more in line with the reopening of much of the Australian economy throughout June. They've said the whole second quarter volume decline is 23%. So looking more promising there, but it's good to see some sort of real financial impact that we're seeing from corporate Australia. Moving on to the sort of the US dollar, what's going on there? It keeps declining. There's a lot of narrative that it's sort of related to the headwinds facing the US economy. We've seen the unemployment applications slightly tick up in number this week. But we've also, heard of reintroduced lockdowns in many states and increasing infection rates with coronavirus in many southern and western US states. So the narrative we're seeing at the moment is, oh, well, the US is suffering, whereas Europe sort of getting its act together, China's getting its act together, Europe with its stimulus plan, and there seems to be declining infection rates there and things are reopening. It's all looking rosy in Europe, and therefore the sort of the US dollar is sort of on a comparative basis going to weaken due to the weaker US economy. An alternative view is that we're seeing, increased global confidence with potential vaccines coming online, and much of the global economy doing well. And what happens to the US dollar when there is global growth? The US dollar generally weakens unless there's more nuanced sort of you know, contrast between the US and the rest of the world. Moving to supermarkets. Now, Australia has one of the most concentrated supermarkets in the world. We've really got two major players, Woolworths and Coles. Now, with the coronavirus crisis, we've seen a big shift to online ordering. You know, particularly if you're like me here in Victoria, the prospect of going to a crowded supermarket certainly isn't appealing with such high levels of coronavirus in the population. One problem with online shopping is it is notoriously unprofitable for the supermarkets. The FT has done an analysis of Tesco and Sainsbury in the UK, and even though they've been far more established players in the market, they've had a much larger proportion of online ordering for many years compared to the Australian players, and they still struggle to make a profit. The compounding impact of this is the rapid expansion that those companies and the ones here have had to do with coronavirus. It hasn't been a sort of slow, gradual expansion of online capacity. It's had to be frantic and rapid, which obviously is higher cost and done with less efficiency. So that's putting even more pressure on margins. The article also mentions that there's quite a lot of sort of hysteresis with online shopping. People don't really go back to their old habits once they've sort of started and opened their online account and all that. So there's a good chance that Woolworths and Coles will probably see declining footfall in the sort of the medium term after the virus has passed, which will put pressure on their profitability unless there's sort of a lot of innovation. There's operators like Ocado in the UK which have developed technology from the get-go. They have large automated warehouses, but they're you know, capital intensive and take a long time to establish. They're working with a number of players around the world to automate their grocery systems. There's also some research that's been done that's found that sort of the actual cost in Europe of fulfilling an online order, you know, most of them are done manually, you know, a staff member walking around the shelves, and it costs around 12 to 14 euros per order. And we're not really seeing that captured in the cost. So there's either going to have to be a huge sort of profound shift to automation, or the costs of online delivery need to sort of more appropriately reflect the true costs. The FT article sort of concludes saying that there'll probably ultimately be a sort of a mix of solutions for the large supermarkets, where you'll have these big automated facilities in the densely populated cities, and then you may have these smaller sort of in-store automation systems in the smaller suburban stores, and then there may even be the traditional manual fulfillment in the smaller regional areas. Moving to the markets now, the US is largely flat an hour after open, the S&P down 14 basis points. Coming up today, we have the PMIs for Australia, the manufacturing PMI and the services PMI, both are expected to be stronger than the previous month. The forecast for manufacturing is 53.6 and services 53.2, which, you know, would be expected considering the reopening up of much of the Australian economy. And that's your early finance update for Friday. Have a great day.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.